Johnson. See, I can burn.
Oh, yeah?
I'm so like the Thompson.
Lemon pick.
That's good.
We just have to try some.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Civil Service Board meeting for June 28th, 2016 is now called to order. I would ask you all to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item, next we have a roll call.
Chairman Dennis Reichardt.
Here.
Vice Chair Curtis Stout.
Here.
Commissioner Dan Carlone.
Here.
Commissioner Evelyn Alexander.
Here.
Commissioner Jeanette Avila.
Here.
Also present, we have representing the Civil Service Board of Commissioners, Stephen Graham, and we have representatives from the Human Resources Department and the Water Department.
Okay, our first item is item AA, public comments. I don't see any takers at this time. Our next item is item AB, approved agenda additions. Do we have any additions today?
No agenda additions.
Moving on to our consent calendar, I would ask for a motion that items A1 through A4 be adopted. Would any of the commissioners like to pull any of the items for discussion?
Chair?
Yes.
So number four?
Commissioner Alexander. So for the other, can I have a motion?
So moved, Chair.
Second?
Second.
I corrected it here, I'm sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Commissioner Alexander.
Yeah. I know we have discussed this type of thing before, and we agreed that there was a vacancy that the person could go down into. They just couldn't bump anybody out of a position in a voluntary demotion. But I still have a concern with the philosophy of it, that when we're in bumping rights, they have to have held the position. We've changed that, if you remember. Before, they didn't have to hold it. If they qualified, they could bump. But now they have to have held that title. But this process now has come up a couple times with the PD. And I understand with the PD, because it takes a lot to get a person cleared just to work in the department. But I have a concern, because they have not necessarily held the position. And yet, when we're in the bumping process, they have to have held the position. So I don't know if we want to discuss it any further. I really have a concern about it, because when we talk in the bumping process, they have to have held the position. And yet, in voluntary demotion, if there's a vacancy, they don't have to have held that title before.
But they still have to qualify for it, though, right?
They have to be qualified. Yeah, they have to be qualified for it. And that's fine. It's just that they didn't test for it. They just have to be qualified.
Oh, that's so I don't test them again?
No, uh-oh.
But well, in this case, though, this person is returning back to the position, right?
No. I just couldn't handle dispatch, and I understand that, because that's very stressful. I'm assuming they couldn't handle it, you know, but from dispatcher, they're going to a records clerk, you
right.
know. But they have not ever been a records clerk before.
I will say, to take the voluntary demotion, they have to meet the minimum qualifications
right.
for it, and then they would have to meet the required testing standards for it, as would an open candidate. During an open recruitment process. So if there were a typing standard that was required for the position, they would have to have already demonstrated that they could meet that typing standard, for example. In this case, when you're going from dispatch to a records tech, a dispatch exam is actually more intensive in terms of entry and qualification on the eligibility list than it would be for the records tax. So.
However, but that might not be the case for another situation, you know. And we're not consistent, you know. Granted, we won't let them bump somebody out now, because that's not fair at all. But, you know, I just thought I'd bring it up again, because it bothers me. But it is what it is. And I'll move approval, because I do know it's, you know, it takes a lot to clear to get into the PD. So many people can't even clear all the background stuff to get in, you know, but outside the PD, the requirements aren't quite so heavy to clear all the background checks and all that stuff. But anyway, I'll move approval. I just don't like it.
One of the kind of, this person, I mean, this in this case, there's an eligibility list, was there eligibility list for this record technician?
Not at this time.
It's just a memo from the chief asking that the person, you know.
No, but I was thinking if there was an eligibility list, would this person be ahead of that eligibility list? That's what I'm saying.
They could be.
But they didn't test for it, so they couldn't get on the, couldn't get on the job, the eligibility list.
I understand that, but what I'm saying, if there were one, an eligibility list for the record technician, this person then would come in on top of that eligibility list.
So we would disregard the eligibility list and let this person.
That's what I'm saying.
Gotcha, I see. I don't think that's so fair either.
No, that would be fair. That would be my own.
But it is a current existing full-time employee of the city as compared to an open candidate coming from the outside. But yes, that would be true.
Okay. I'm playing the devil's advocate here. I can see a couple reasons. This would give the chief an opportunity, if he knows he has a good employee that can accomplish that job, give him the opportunity to use that employee and be a cost-saving measure also. We don't have to go out and advertise the job, et cetera. So I can certainly see both points, but since we're kind of in a transition now, we're not sure what's going to happen. I think maybe we can address it later after we go through our process.
Well, looking at it the way you just mentioned, it could also be the other way. The chief doesn't care for this particular person, or the department head, or whoever, you know, but it could be a personality thing and don't want them here. You know, this division head doesn't like this person, you know, let's go ahead and offer them a demotion. And the wording kind of bothered me a little because it indicated that she or he, whatever it is, I'm having trouble without names, but was offered the position already. So my concern was when I first read it, it was offered. Well, what if we didn't, you know, and they're accepting, what if we didn't approve it then, you know?
I certainly see your point
anyway.
We don't want to go back to Tammany Hall days. They just appoint it because they want to.
Yeah.
That would be a
I'll move thing. Approval. I just have a concern about it.
Yeah. All right.
And a second.
You know me, I'm a stickler.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. That ends our consent calendar for today. Moving on to item A5, probationary release. I would ask for a motion, and then we'll have discussion, that the probationary release of 2016-22, Customer Service Representative 1, Water Department, be approved in accordance with Civil Service Rule 500.2. And we do have a written statement, so if I can have that motion and second, we'll have discussion.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
And now we'll have the discussion. I did read this, and I certainly understand her concerns.
Yes.
She said she had concerns about her evaluations being good, people coming forward concerning her. But this board is put into that same position because it's a civil service rule that for without cause, a department head can eliminate an employee within that 1 year, and we certainly have to go by the parameters of the civil service rule. So with that being said, any other discussion?
No, I agree with you, Chair. It is, we've had these before, and it is sort of limited what we can do with it. I read the statement, and I thought it was very good that she pointed out her evaluations and all the things that had been told to her during that 10-month period. It just seemed like it's a little unfair, but then there's nothing we can do at this level.
However, we didn't get copies of the evaluations either.
I can speak to that. They were submitted to Rebecca, and you know one of the issues I have is that an employee's personnel evaluations are confidential.
I understand that.
If they get attached to a civil service agenda, they become public records.
Oh, gotcha.
And so it is very, at least it's happened a couple times where Rebecca will get a written statement and they will attach their evaluations to them, and Rebecca reminds them this will be a public record, and so we don't put them on the agenda, but we do inform the employee if they want to come to the meeting and actually hand them out. They may do so.
That's good.
And that's happened. In the past, we've had employees come and do that. We just want to be want to protect the employee's confidentiality.
Oh, yeah, no, I understand that, yeah.
You know, and I deal a lot with the records, and so that's something that I'm and Rebecca are both very cognizant of.
I don't ever remember an employee coming and presenting their, since I've been on the commission, giving us their evaluations. But it dawned on me when you started.
Yeah, just a couple of weeks ago.
They talked about it.
Oh, they talked about it. Okay, they talked about it. Yeah, but for the same reason.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Once they get handed out to the board, they're public records.
And another little point that was brought up, that she brought up in the letter, was about, well, she's had two different supervisors. One maybe liked her, one didn't. In the final analysis, Stacy Alstad runs the water department. I have all the confidence in the world in her. And the boss of each department in this city is the one who says, either you're going to not stay or you're going to stay. And with that responsibility, I have no problem with this myself. With that being said, any other discussion? Why don't we go ahead and vote on it? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item A6, correspondence. Do we have any correspondence today?
No correspondence.
Next, item A7, monthly report from the chief executive. Oh, yeah, monthly report from the chief executive.
So in your agenda packets, you received the monthly report for May 2016. Just to kind of quickly recap, during that month we had 8 eligibility lists issued, certifying 94 candidates, those included the police department, public works, and water. At month end, we had 19 recruitments that remained in progress. In addition to the recruitment that is going on right now, and we generally do spike, there are 2 times of year that we tend to have a lot of heavy recruitment. This is one of them. It's around the beginning of the fiscal year. So as budgets are approved, departments want to move forward with filling their positions, so that has historically been a heavy recruitment period for us. And then, of course, in the winter, around the first calendar year is the second time frame in which we do heavy recruitment. So right now we do have a lot of that going on. I did want to announce to the board, of course, during this period we did issue it, I'd mentioned previously, the final reduction in force notices to the fire department personnel. They had received other notifications, but the actual official notice was issued on May 31st. And then they've proceeded towards the out-processing, et cetera, has been concluded, and they will transition in July. And then we have the separation finalization for the remaining Sabita employees during the month of May. The other thing I wanted to bring to your attention is last night the Mayor and Common Council did adopt the fiscal year 2016-17 budget, so that was approved. There was not any change brought forward for civil service in terms of number of budgeted FTEs. As you know, we do have one vacant HR tech position, at least for the first half of the fiscal year. I don't envision filling that position unless work volume increase significantly at this point in time, pending knowing what's going to happen relative to charter changes and any kind of future restructuring that may be happening as a result of that. I think it's best that we would hold off with filling another full-time position.
But that's going to be, that's another 6 months of you and Letty doing it all. And how many days of vacation have you lost? A million. I'm concerned. You need to, you know. I think we should hire somebody. And they, you know, granted, they might not have a job after 6 months or something. But I am concerned with the load you guys have been taking on for, you know, quite some time now.
And I appreciate that. I do appreciate that, and I appreciate the support. I do think that they're, in the longer term, as I've mentioned, Letty is preparing for retirement. I think there might be some longer term organizational adjustments that we're going to want to do. And I really want to think through that very carefully. And then also take into account any actions that are taken by our citizens relative to charter change. And coordinate whatever we're doing with the human resources team to make sure that we have the most effective team moving forward. And understanding that with the transition of fire and with the transition of integrated waste, there are going to be long-term shifts, and I don't know in terms of long-term workload what that full impact is going to be. We're busy right now, and if it stays that way, certainly I'm going to come back to you and say I really think we need to proceed. But I think this might be kind of a temporary spike as we're trying to fill a bunch of vacancies that for a long time have been held vacant. Mm-hmm. But in the longer term, human resources and integrated waste in terms of testing and recruitment were always very intensive for us. Mm-hmm. With the fire, those were intensive recruitments. We won't have those as much anymore. So the recruitments that we do and some of the other changes that we've made in terms of the civil service screening orals being eliminated from the mm-hmm. testing standards have helped us to be able to manage, which we probably wouldn't be able to if those changes hadn't been made. So
I think it's kind of funny on the social media. It's so ridiculous. All of a sudden people are realizing the fire department is going to be shifted. Well, who authorized this? Where have you people been,
yeah.
You know? But one thing that was asked just this last week was, what about the non-sworn people? How many of those, the clerical, for example, and the inspectors and that type of thing that weren't sworn firefighters, how many of those were able to go to the county? Or were any or some? Or
all of them were given an opportunity as was included in the plan of service.
Oh, okay.
So to something that was as close
okay.
as possible,
yeah. Okay.
In terms of a comparable
Super.
Type
okay.
of position.
Yeah,
so
I had, everyone, I just hadn't heard that, and I thought, well, I'm not going to try to respond to that because I just wasn't sure. But that's
yeah.
good. I haven't. You know, they always, you know, the firefighters get the press, and, and the clerical people don't necessarily get the press. So that's good. Yeah.
I will say that the county has been really good in terms of trying to work with our personnel and
uh-huh.
trying to find something that will be a good fit for them.
Super. Yeah.
So it's a hard transition no matter how you
oh, yeah.
look at it.
Uh-huh.
But from that perspective, I know that they have worked really hard mm-hmm. to try and make sure that there is a place for our people to move in.
Wonderful.
I was just thinking, same as Evelyn, to get someone in place so that it could give you vacation time and also to use Liddy as a trainer for that person so that when the transition, whenever she decides to retire, then of course the transition would be very easy to you because you'd already have someone trained by her to fill in that slot. So, you know, that may be something you want to consider because you do. I'm like Evelyn, you do have vacation time you need to take, and you probably need to take it before Evelyn leaves.
You just probably already lost hours and hours and days and months.
I
lost what I was going to ask you. Oh, would it be possible to use that full-time position that's budgeted as part-time? Just you know, to be of help, but it wouldn't be, then if things were, once we knew what's going to happen, it wouldn't be quite so bad to lose a part-timer as somebody that was on full-time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes,
good
it
for
is,
thought, you know. But I didn't know if that's possible, you know, in the procedure process,
yeah.
you know.
We do have part-time dollars that have been budgeted. We did include
uh-huh.
that. And we have supplemented. We have right now a part-time apprentice. Once her apprentice period concludes, we are going to be considering opening up to have an HR, a part-time HR tech.
Oh, good. Okay.
And so that gives a potential
okay.
path for her
okay.
Or another candidate
uh-huh.
to move in terms of a support role. So we have added that. So we have, in addition to myself and Letty, we do have a part-time, paid part-time person that is in apprentice
okay.
currently, and there is a potential to transition that into an
okay,
HR.
Okay, now
an
apprentice
so.
Be like an intern?
A little bit higher level. She can
no, but I mean, it's that
completed
type.
Her degree.
Okay.
So an intern would have to be currently enrolled in school.
Gotcha.
To be an intern.
Okay.
Apprentice doesn't have to
okay.
be enrolled in school.
These new terms.
Okay.
Super.
Okay, with that being said, I would ask for a motion that the activity report for May 2016 and the personnel action summary report for June 20th, 2016 you received and filed, if I can have that motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Our next item is closed session, item A8. I don't believe we have any closed session items today.
Yeah.
And our next item is item A9, adjournment. I would ask for a motion that the meeting.
Yes.
I thought you
were. Oh, that's right.
Let's go back to public comment for a second.
Okay.
And I will make a public comment.
So we will go back to item AA. public comment before we adjourn.
So I will just take a brief public comment. There was a question about, you know, there is some uncertainty with the charter. Obviously, I think the first issue is whether the charter will pass at all. We don't know. We don't have any polling. We have no idea how people feel about it. The budget process that the city just went through and was approved last night, thank you, assumes no charter reform will take place. Mm. It assumes that the charter will not pass for budgeting purposes. If the charter does pass, then through mid-year and next year's budget, you'll begin to see changes, to the budget to reflect that. As you all are aware, there's one small section of the new charter that's devoted to what is going to be termed the Personnel Commission, as opposed to the Civil Service Commission. The commission will still exist. It will retain its independent hearing authority for discipline and demotion and removal. But a lot of the other tasks that are currently done by civil service, generating eligibility, testing, will be rolled into human resources. So I think that that's primarily going to be a where is this person, what department are they in, not do we need that person. We're still going to need to do recruitment. We're still going to need to find out if people are eligible. We're still going to have personnel rules. Mm-hmm. And until the rules are changed, essentially what's going to happen is the civil service rules are going to become the personnel rules. The board may not be the enforcement entity for all of them anymore. It may go to HR. It'll depend on which rule is being enforced in which case. Civil service may not do all of the tasks that are stated. Mm-hmm. And we may not have a civil service department. But essentially what you have now is what you will have the day after the charter passes, until the Mayor and Common Council go through and clean it up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, depending on how the vote goes, essentially what our office is going to propose is that we go through the current civil service rules, reallocate the task to HR, to civil service, but essentially keep the current rules in place as they are, not try to reinvent the whole wheel from the get-go. And the charter also has language in there, you know, that essentially says anything that's in place now that isn't expressly removed or amended by this charter stays in effect until changed by the council. So we're going to have an interesting year-long period if it passes, where we're going to have to do some cleanup with the municipal code, with the civil service rules, to reflect the changes that have been made. But it won't be an overnight thing.
Question, Steve. If any changes the council makes, would that all be by ordinance or a resolution?
It would be my recommendation that they do it by ordinance, that we create a section of the municipal code. That would be my recommendation. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to follow it. Mm-hmm. But my recommendation would be to turn all of these rules just into a section of the muni code.
Gotcha.
That is easily accessible, mm-hmm, and easy to find. Okay.
Now, the charter has to go, there has to be a vote to
November. Mm-hmm.
But there's a vote before you get to November, right?
No.
They have to have certain public hearings at the council level.
Right.
So you're correct in the sense that it is not a foregone conclusion that
right.
the charter will be on the ballot.
Right.
The council could still pull the plug.
Oh, geez. I don't know how that works.
I don't have any indication that they're planning on doing that, but I have been surprised before.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it is not a done deal yet.
Well, they already voted in that,
they already had the first vote.
Yeah.
They have to have more than one.
Right.
I have no indication that they're planning on doing anything different, but
right.
they could, in theory. And they just last night funded $150,000 to educational efforts,
mm-hmm,
regarding the charter. So it seems that they are committed to that.
I think it's a good thing. I think it's reduced and it's simplified and it's not as crazy as our last charter.
But anyway, so things will continue, mm-hmm, as they are now until those cleanup provisions go into effect.
Yeah, I really appreciate the update to try to clarify some
things. One more thing. Is the budget, are they going to post out online?
I thought they had already, they posted it online already, and they didn't make any substantial changes last night to it. So what was on online last night should be.
I was curious on the quality of life. Did they fund that fully? And then
I don't know.
They funded what currently exists. They did not allocate additional funding at this stage to extending so that they can operate 6 days a week. That's something that will be taken back to the council, possibly as an amendment or a modification. They have to identify where they're going to pull the additional funding that would be required.
So right, it's so 4 or 5 right now, days a week.
I thought it was 3.
No, I think it's 4. It's they're going to be adding 2 additional days. So it's 4 days currently. They're talking about adding 2 additional days, which would make it 6 days a week that the quality of life would have personnel working on those issues. So.
It seemed like mostly it was a status quo budget. No cuts, no significant additions. The additions will be taken later. They had a whiteboard and everything, all the potential things they could.
They're going to go through capital improvement will be done separately, so that there are a number of issues that still have to be addressed.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you for allowing me to make a public comment.
Our next item is A9, adjournment. I would ask for a motion that the meeting be adjourned to the regularly scheduled meeting of July 12, 2016. If I can have that motion.
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Support the motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Is that confirmation?
And Jeanette will be with us the next meeting.
Right. No, that's one of them. And where are you all?
The IT department has taken pity on me. They saw me go to a planning commission meeting with 4 finders.
That's right.